Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hello and welcome to Friends with Friends. Dave's already sort of started the episode once because we record a lot. If you subscribe to Friends with Friends on Patreon,
yep.
patreon.com/friendspod.
Yeah. Ahoy hoy, by the way. I've not said that yet.
And if you do that, then you get an extra little bit at the start of Friends with Friends and a weekly spin-off called Correspondence. Dave basically forgot what we were doing and just cracked on with the main episode.
I started reading out the requests.
Which would have been exclusively for Patreon subscribers. There are benefits to being a Patreon subscriber. We don't give them the whole episode.
No. Imagine that, though. Maybe that's what we should just start doing. We'll do the whole episode before the music, then just do the music and do, like, a bit of bonus chat afterwards. Mix it up. Flip it around.
Other way around. Well, to briefly sum up, IKEA meatballs, combining meats, and potatoes. That's what came up today.
Lots of potato chat. If you're missing out on potato chat, spoiler alert, I don't like roast potatoes. People are ripping arms about it.
Yeah. I can't handle more potato chat.
No, let's move on. Let's move on.
Why don't you offer me a request?
To what, like I did a few minutes ago?
Yeah.
Okay, this is from Evelyn.
You didn't ask me if I wanted a request.
Oh, Pete, would you like a request?
Yes.
It's from Evelyn. Is that okay?
Okay, yeah.
Hi, Dave and Pete. I want to request the one with the birthing video. Phoebe's really good in it. She's my favourite character. The whole sequence with the saltwater taffy is really funny. Agreed. The bit where Phoebe and Monica are trying to figure out what Monica should wear for Valentine's Day is one of the first times that Monica and Ross realise it's weird to talk about that sort of stuff with your sibling. Yeah, that's true, actually. This is one of the first times where they actually acknowledge that it's a bit fucking weird to be like talking about sex with your sibling. Hope you enjoy it, and I love your podcast, and I'm from England, which is really exciting and very far away. So that's fun. Have a lovely day.
Yeah, it's not the most interesting location for a message we've had, but they all count.
Hey, they all do count, yes. Don't let Pete tell you otherwise. And it sort of covers a broad range.
Why just me?
Well, you were the one that said it wasn't very exciting.
Right, okay.
Just wanted Evelyn
to
know that.
Did I have a point?
I didn't feel that way about their message, all right?
Right, okay, fine.
Fine. Also, England covers a big span, doesn't it? Like, they could be anywhere in England.
Yes, they could.
So, maybe it is exciting. Maybe they're in...
What do you think is the least exciting part of England, Dave?
I'm going to offend someone now, aren't I? Surrey.
Do you know what? I was thinking of Slough.
Slough, yeah. I think Slough's sort of famously uninteresting, right? But it's, by definition, now very interesting as the setting of one of the biggest television shows in the history of the world, you know?
Yeah.
So I think its lack of interestingness has given it...
Has made it quite interesting.
A pedestal on which to be interesting, you know? Whereas I think Surrey, and I'm sorry to say it, Surrey's lovely. There's lots of nice bits of Surrey, but it's just so blah, isn't it?
Do you want to know what was voted the most boring place to live in England?
Yep.
Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury? Mm. Huh, fair enough.
So there you go.
Great. Well, moving on. Do you want a request? Dan, I've done it already.
Yeah, go on.
I've already read it out.
Yes, you have. Yeah.
I feel like I'm in Groundhog Day. I just keep asking you if you want a request constantly.
Please, move on, Dave.
Do you want a synopsis? Is what I meant, Peter.
Yes.
Season 8, episode 15, the one with the birthing video, 227415.
Oh, I like that. That's nice.
Yeah, nice. Nice, satisfying number, isn't it? Phoebe gives a birthing video to Rachel. Chandler, mistaking the tape for porn, watches it and is horrified after watching it with Monica, which kills his mood for Valentine's Day. Ross struggles to tell Mona that Rachel is now living with him. She breaks up with him over his dishonesty, and Joey is depressed, so Phoebe lends him a dog to cheer him up. But dog ends up... But Joey ends up affecting the dog with his depression, and in the end, confesses his feelings to Ross about Rachel.
Yeah, a little cliffhanger.
It was a cliffhanger, wasn't it? I do enjoy... Do you know what I really enjoy, Pete? An ending without the sting.
Yeah, it's quite unsettling, isn't it?
Very unsettling, like a sort of horror movie. Yeah. Just that look like, ooh. Oh, we're supposed to feel something here. And we do.
Boy, do we.
Do you know what's also exciting about this episode, Pete? And we haven't quite nailed it, but we are damn it as close as we've ever been. We're doing a Valentine's Day episode.
I did think that.
Only 1 week after Valentine's Day.
Yeah. I mean, it is not by design that we're doing a Valentine's Day episode this week. That is a coincidence. It would make sense for it to be deliberate, but we aren't that proactive.
No, thank you very much. No, what you mean, Pete, is we're very democratic and everything is equal and the requests are done in the order they come in.
Yeah. Shout out to Evelyn for their request and the
foresight they had to request it over 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Knowing... the place in the queue.
Over
they occupied.
2 years ago. Fucking hell. Sorry, everyone.
Sorry, everyone, frankly. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I know. But you know, Pete, with great power comes great responsibility. It doesn't really apply here, but I just thought I'd say it anyway.
It's a good quote.
Thank you. But yeah, no, look, I mean, it's one of the curses of people actually listening to this nonsense, for which we thank you continuously. Where do you want to start? Dog video, Mona.
Can we start with video?
Video, yeah, yeah. It's strange, isn't it, this whole thing? A, is this a thing that happens? I'd like some feedback from mothers-to-be, because I have zero experience of having children myself or being involved with having a child. I would have just thought that watching a video of anyone giving birth would be the last thing anyone would want to do in order to sort of quell anxiety or what concerns, because famously it's awful, right? Giving birth is awful.
Also, it's Phoebe's friend, right?
Yeah, Phoebe has a lot of fucking friends in this episode. She's got a video friends, a dog friends.
Why are birthing videos are birthing videos traditionally of friends of friends?
Well, like, exactly.
I assume that's Phoebe's friend in the video. Why is she? Yeah. Sharing a video of her giving birth.
Phoebe's friends are very liberally generous in the sense that one of them is giving a video of that, you know, the most intimate moment in her life. Another one of her friends is just giving a dog up for a bit to a man she's never met, but is happy for this.
Well, it's a bit like Borrow My Doggy before Borrow My Doggy was a thing.
Yeah, that's true, isn't it? That is true. But Borrow My Doggy has like a series of vetting processes, you know? You meet the person, they meet your dog, all this sort of stuff. Wendy,
you take it on some dates.
You know, have the bloody dog. Give it to a depressed friend of yours, by all means.
Yeah.
Anyway, Chandler finds a tape in the living room. Ross forgets to take it home. This is all, a lot of the things in this episode are Ross's fault, I'd say.
Oh, a huge amount of it.
In fact, everything in this episode is indirectly Ross's fault. It's Ross's fault that Joey can't be with Rachel, according to Joey. It's Ross's fault for forgetting the videotape, and it's Ross's fault for acting like an absolute arse in the Mona situation, but we'll get onto that. So this is a big Ross can't... Did you get it?
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
I thought you were going to add something, but you didn't.
No, I didn't.
Well, as on the subject of Ross, as Evelyn says... acknowledgement of sibling boundaries is, you know, it's nice to know they do exist in Monica's head.
It only took him 8 years.
Ross responds. Like, he thinks about it, even reluctantly, and then says the red one when he's told to pick between dresses. Like, he does actually reply.
Dresses is a strong word for sexy lingerie, isn't it?
Sexy lingerie, yeah.
Also,
do you own any sexy lingerie, Dave?
Do I? Bollocks, no.
Oh.
No, I don't even own pyjamas. Is that TMI?
You don't own pajamas.
No, I don't sleep in pajamas. I know.
Sleep naked.
Yeah. That's okay. Fine, isn't it?
It is fine, yeah.
Why would I own pajamas? I own like comfy clothes, loungewear, yeah. One might say, that I put on after I get up. But no, no sexy lingerie for me, I'm afraid.
Any sexy loungewear?
Wouldn't say sexy, no, that's not right. Really my brand, to be perfectly honest.
Right, okay.
I go for cozy.
Some people might think it is your brand.
Cozy over. Thank you. Well, I hope, hopefully somebody does. I mean, at least my girlfriend. That would be nice if she shared that. Shared that opinion. Here's my question about the tape. Chandler finds the tape in the living room and thinks his wife has bought him a pornographic VHS, shout out to pornographic VHSs, for Valentine's Day. If that is the case, you'd wait till she got back and watch it together, wouldn't you? You wouldn't just pop it on.
Yeah, you'd... Well, isn't she... She's in the bedroom, isn't she?
Yeah, she's in the bedroom changing into something a little less comfortable and a little more slutty, as she says.
Yeah, he's just so... He immediately needs the porn.
Yeah, it's. I feel like Monica and Chandler have quite a good open sex life that they talk about. You know, like they seem to have quite good sexual communication. But ultimately, he seems so desperate to see a naked woman that I'm not sure how healthy their sex life actually is, because he doesn't even change. He doesn't even take his jacket off, you know? I would have thought, if you're going to be watching porn without being too graphic, like... Wearing your full work suit isn't your full clothes.
It's famously an activity you don't really wear many clothes for.
Right, exactly. And not in the living room, in an apartment where the front door is famously always unlocked. All the lights on, just like he's watching, you know, Corrie.
Yeah. There are some nice bits of physical comedy in this storyline. Their reactions to the birthing video. Rachel's appalled.
Yeah.
Various appalled faces. Did her ass explode, etc.
Did her ass explode? Honestly, I just think, I mean, as it gets to the end and they go, oh, but look, it's a baby and isn't it cute, isn't it nice? And then Rachel goes, yeah, no, you still have to do it though, you know? And I think that's absolutely the fair thing. It's like, it's all very well watching that and then getting to the nice ending, but Rachel still has to now go through it. And I just think... You're better off not knowing, aren't you? I think experiencing it for the first time, you're better off just going, I'd rather not know how horrendous it's going to be, because I don't think watching a birthing tape is going to make you feel any better about what you think might be coming. If anything, it's going to look worse than you anticipated it might be, you know?
You're listening to a heterosexual white man give advice on giving birth.
Look, I might be wrong. Maybe it's useful, but Christ, terrifying.
Yeah, true.
Anyway, it turns out Monica really did get in porn.
Yes, she did, yeah.
Why did she need to get in porn on a VHS in 2002, Pete? The internet was really on by then.
Yeah, but it would have taken like an hour for a short video to load, wouldn't it?
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
I imagine.
But again, are they just going to pop the video on in the living room and just like sit with all the lights on and watch the porn? It's funny, isn't it? It's a funny activity.
Watch the porn.
What did you do for Valentine's Day, by the way? Last week? You do anything?
Got a VHS. We went out for dinner.
Did you? You did a thing?
Yeah.
That's nice.
I had a pizza, which was nice.
Oh, lovely.
What about you?
Well, absolutely nothing, but we just happened to be in New York. So on paper, great Valentine's Day, you know?
Yeah.
Like on paper, we got on a cable car over the East River of New York City. That's cool, but we hadn't timed it to be for Valentine's Day, and it wasn't a Valentine's
trip.
But
you made it as little romance involved as possible.
Oh, I think at about 2 p.m., I suddenly went, oh, fuck, it's Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day. And she went, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. So I'm not fussed about Valentine's Day too much, you know? And luckily, the feeling is mutual. But on paper, solid Valentine's Day, I'd say.
Yeah, well done.
Spent it with Daniel Radcliffe in a cable car. They were two separate activities.
Mm. Daniel Radcliffe in a cable car would be a really memorable way of spending Valentine's Day.
Very much so. Maybe I'll arrange that for next year.
Yeah, aim high.
Anyway, so then Rachel comes back and watches the video with them. So poor old Chandler, as he flags, ends up watching it three times, which, frankly, is too much for somebody who's not even involved in the birth, I would have thought. And then yeah, as predicted, Rachel goes, this is going to be awful. And I shouldn't have watched that, really. But then she watches some porn at the end by mistake. Happy days.
Yeah, I do like that ending.
Maybe it starts with how she gets pregnant. Very comprehensive birthing video. Dog or taffy?
Well, yeah, I guess taffy is Ross related, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's do dog.
Dog. I have mixed feelings about this plot line, Peter.
Okay.
What I would say is I think Matt LeBlanc's quite good in this sort of serious mode. I believe him. He, you know, there's the over-the-top moments when he's screaming at Gunther or whatever, but when he's actually talking to the dog and he's professing all these feelings or he's talking to Ross about it, I think he plays serious quite well. However, I'm not watching a fucking art house film. I'm watching a TV sitcom, and what any of this is not funny.
That's true. True. Perhaps Friends sort of feels like it's got the right to give you those low moments, having lured you in over so many seasons.
I just think on balance, no matter how good Matt LeBlanc is in a sort of emotional capacity, it's just, this is not...
Well, Joey's depressed, isn't he? They frame it as lovesick, but he's depressed.
He's depressed. And that's not what I want from a sitcom, Pete.
No, fair point.
Entire episode where one of the main characters is so depressed they can't do anything. Feels a bit...
But I will give full marks to Dog. You don't get many dogs in Friends. Friends could do with a few more dogs, perhaps.
There's a few, but not as many as you'd like.
And also, dog called Mozzarella.
That dog has range, the acting dog.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, my dog's a fucking idiot. He could not do any of that stuff. If I threw that ball, but I wanted him to not chase it because the dog was depressed, my dog would just do it. He would just chase that ball all day. Like, dogs are mainly idiots. So in fairness to that bloody dog, it's got range from super happy and upbeat chasing a ball, finding a ball out of nowhere, conjuring balls, if anything, to completely depressed. Like,
yeah,
I'd say give that dog an Emmy.
Give that dog a bone and an Emmy.
Give that dog a bone and an Emmy. A Bemmy. An Emmy that's a bone.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah, get it? As I said before, why is Phoebe's friend just lending a dog to a friend of a friend? I can't imagine giving my dog away even to a friend for like a day. Really, never mind a friend of a friend that I've never met.
I do like the bit where Phoebe makes a reference to, like, I brought you something furry or something.
Oh, yeah.
And Joey says, I'm not sleeping with your friend Jane again. That's really good.
There's some moments of levity from Joey, certainly. But it does get to a point where, personally, and some people might disagree, some people might enjoy this side of it. Personally, I don't want this from Joey, you know? I want more.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Happy-go-lucky Joey.
The eerie silence and lack of background noise when Joey and Ross have that conversation at the end. Yeah. Like, it's quite unsettling and very, not very traditional for Friends. Like, it's just a low-key bit of atmos from the coffee house. The audience noise is dried up as well. Yeah. Like, you get nothing and it's quite, unsettling and atmospheric.
It's quite effective, isn't it, in that way? But again, not a gag a minute, this conversation, is it? It's just them having quite a serious conversation. And let's flag it now. Absolutely classic Ross, like two sides of the fence, happy to give out the advice about how the other guy should just be a good guy and let it go. And then as soon as the other guy becomes him, he becomes an absolute
double
brick.
Standards. Yeah.
He is absolutely. That is, if anything, peak Ross. Another strange thing Ross does in this scene is the reason that he's there in the first place. Did you notice this?
Warm milk?
To order a cup of warm milk.
Mm.
Just warm some milk up at home, you mad bastard.
Yeah.
Who's going to a coffee house to order warm milk? And it is a good cliffhanger, isn't it? Like when Joey when Joey says it as Ross is leaving. And then it's one of those ones where actually, even though we always watch these out of sequence, I kind of wanted to carry on and watch the rest of it. except I had to turn it off to come and do the podcast, but I was a bit annoyed that I couldn't watch the
next. Sorry for interrupting.
Yeah, bloody will be. But there you go. And I think that's sort of covers the grounds of Joey and the depressed dog, who isn't called Mozzarella. Do you know what? I've included that in quizzes before.
He has another name at the start, doesn't he?
Right, and it turns out that Joey doesn't know his real name, but I call him Mozzarella.
Yeah.
Absolutely wild to rename a dog for one day. That's really not how names work, is it?
It's not, no.
Imagine I just like sent a friend of mine to help you with the problem you were having. And you're like, I'm just going to call him Tony. And those names, Jeff. Be weird, though, wouldn't it?
Mozzarella's a good name, though.
It is a good name. It's just not the dog's name, Pete. Not the dog's name. I'll call you Mozzarella if you want. Mozzarella Allison's a good name.
Sounds like a drag name.
It does, doesn't it? But you've already got your drag name, haven't you? Remember what it is?
I have, yeah. Alice in Wonderland.
Alice in Wonderland, very good.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ross and Mona?
Yeah. This is the last of Mona, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know if we see her again. I feel like she pops up again in my head. I don't feel like it's the absolute end of Mona's... I'm sure she pops up somewhere and someone will remind me, but it's the problem.
Well, she does break up with him, doesn't she? So
problem with
we then hear about Ross sharing that he was once dumped during sex.
No. How did that go?
Pretty poor Valentine's Day all round.
Very bad Valentine's Day. Two prongs to this plotline, Peter, that I'd like to discuss. One is Ross's behaviour, brackets appalling, and the other is saltwater taffy, brackets what the hell is it?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting a bit, it's giving a bit of sort of salted caramel vibes.
Right, but sort of chewy, like a chewy dough, you know?
But it's referred to as saltwater treats at one point, and saltwater makes me, that doesn't sound great.
No, it doesn't. It's saltwater taffy is composed of sugar, cornstarch, corn syrup, glycerine, water, butter, salt. I mean, I like all the things in that, you know?
It sounds extremely sugary.
Mm. What is saltwater taffy called in the UK? Do you know what we call it? Apparently call saltwater taffy in the UK, according to Google?
Saltwater toffee.
In the United Kingdom, pieces of taffy are known as chewy sweets.
Right. Well, I'm none the wiser with that.
No, absolutely none the wiser.
What the object itself may be, but...
That's very funny.
I did think that, like, I felt like, oh no, I know Mona's in for a terrible 22 minutes or however long this episode is. Like, Ross actually intentionally plans on ruining Valentine's Day for her. It's all part of his plan, is to make her have a nice day and then destroy it. And, like, I also love that Mona's Valentine's Day surprise for Ross involves a huge baguette. Like, a large quantity of bread actually is quite a great... good Valentine's Day.
It is, but it doesn't, you don't want too many heavy carbs if you want a good Valentine's Day, do you?
If you're going to watch porn on a VHS.
you want to watch a stranger give birth later that night, you know, you don't have too much bread.
I think the most problematic Ross moment in this, one of them, it's a tough competition.
Yeah, it really is.
But there's that bit where he blames the fact that he's now living with Rachel on Rachel being crazy, she isn't, as an excuse for her being there. Very bad look.
It's quite an impressive Ross storyline, because even by his standards, he manages to make the entirely wrong decision at every single stage of development of the situation. Do you know what I mean? Every time something occurs or someone finds something out, he does the wrong thing. And it's quite impressive that he persistently just behaves really pretty badly. And like, in fairness to Mona, when she sums it up, earlier Ross has said to Phoebe, I think, he was like, oh, she'll be cool, or to Monica, oh, she'll be cool, you know, like, it'll be absolutely fine, she's been very supportive, blah blah blah,
and bought the baby a t-shirt,
bought that baby a fossil t-shirt, and then, but then Mona very reasonably goes, imagine I go away for a few days, my boyfriend is living with his ex who he got pregnant. I'd be like, yeah, that is absolutely insane. And the idea that Ross would have done it without consulting her.
And there are these little glimmers of, you know, we've said it before, I think, about them being actually a good match. Like the, I think it's interesting. I do too. I missed you. And like, that's quite sweet. And
no, I know.
Like the fact that she has got on board with the baby thing and bought the baby something, like that is very kind.
Agreed.
Yeah, Mona good, Ross bad.
She's dealing with that as bloody well as she could do. And like you say, I think the biggest tragedy here for Ross is that he's actually found someone who gets him, puts up with his weirdness, like enjoys the same sort of things he does, really connects with him on a level that, let's face it, Ross and Rachel don't. I know we spend 10 years waiting for them to get together, but actually as a couple, they're pretty badly suited, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
They're completely different people. They have no similar interests. They don't really even share, like, the same sense of humour or anything, you know? I don't really see it when you look back properly on it. I know we're all very invested in it at the time, but I think Ross and Mona is a much better match. That's my big thought for this week, Pete.
Oh, I like it.
Sometimes I forget to have a big thought, and then I just have to tack on the words big thought at the end.
Well, it's not easy having one every week.
It's not, I know, right? Crikey. Gotta keep the old grey matter ticking over. As Evelyn said, Phoebe's reaction to the taffy is, I enjoy that so much. I mean, I don't really know what taffy is, but I imagine I would react in a similar way. Like, what is it with this crap? All that sort of stuff made me really laugh out loud. And then her pullback at the end where she goes, oh, it's nice, can I try a pink one? I just think that whole scene is probably my favourite scene of this episode, and Phoebe is excellent in it. And then, like you say, end of Mona properly, even if she just pop up briefly again, but she breaks up with Ross, I'd say completely understandably. How long did you think you were going to be able to live with your ex-girlfriend that you've got pregnant before your girlfriend of current time broke up with you? Hey, Pete.
Hey.
Do we have a quiz?
I don't know the answer to that question.
Why didn't you ask me?
Do we have a quiz?
Pete, we've got a quiz.
Oh, who's it from?
I got a message from Matt on Instagram. I've got quiz for you for the one with the birthing video. Here's the link. Sorry the production value is low, but WeTransfer seemed the best way to send it.
Absolutely. Oh, no, I think involving WeTransfer is quite high production value.
Absolutely. I'm going to download it now. Some would say do it earlier than when you're right on the podcast, but that's not how we roll here, is it, Pete?
Is this where we learn it doesn't work and we haven't actually got a quiz?
Oh, that would be sad, wouldn't it? Right. No, I got it. Oh, good. It is. I do see what you mean by low production values, Matt. He has sent a PDF in WeTransfer, but it is basically just a Word document with text. But
that's
fine.
Okay.
This is an audio format. Like, I love your high production quizzes, but they're only really for me and Pete, aren't they?
True.
Okay. What colour are the bobbles in Phoebe's hair?
Pink.
Correct.
Yeah.
What's the name of the girl Joey thinks Phoebe has brought round?
Jane?
Jane, very good. 2 for 2. Which friend of
Harry
Jane. Which friend of Phoebe does a dog actually belong to?
Don't know that one.
Wendy. What does Joey call the dog?
Mozzarella.
Correct. How many stars does the pawn get?
4.
Ah, trick question, Pete. They're not stars, are they?
Oh, but you are okay.
You are right. It is four. But they're not stars. What are they? Are they penises?
I thought nipples.
What is the closest pornographic depiction of a star for rating systems? Yeah, nipple would make sense. Cause...
Or anus.
Well, that is the closest one, isn't it? But
it'd be weird to do like, probably a sort of, is, yeah.
Like the logo in Community, you know, when they do the logo for the college. Yeah, but it has to be something that Monica doesn't immediately spot as that isn't a star. So I think, yeah, you're right. A penis is out. Maybe it is a nipple or an anus. But you got it right anyway, Pete. Well done. What would Chandler gladly make his screensaver?
His dad doing something with doing shots off the chest of the houseboy.
Correct,
or something.
Yeah, tequila shots off the naked houseboy. Very good.
There you go. Thank you.
In the scene with Ross and Joey in the coffee house, how many hearts are in the flower display on the table?
No idea.
Two. I wouldn't have got that in a million years. And what does Ross say he's going to put in his warm milk when he gets home?
Bourbon?
Bourbon. Yeah. Correct. You've done very well there, Pete.
Thank you.
Very, very well. Good quiz performance from you.
Thank you. Would you like to know what next week's episode is?
Would I like to know what next week's... Yes. Yes, please.
You would. Next week, we are going to Season 1, Episode 8, the one where Nana dies twice.
We haven't done that.
No.
Are you shitting me? That's astonishing.
I don't really remember that one.
No. You don't remember the episode of Friends?
Is it the one where they clear out and she's got the handcuffs?
Yeah, and then she dies twice in the hospital. Ross falls in the grave. All that sort of stuff.
I don't remember that.
They're watching a football at the funeral.
Stop doing spoilers.
Sorry.
Spoilers.
Great news.
Cool, we'll do that next week.
All right, then. I'll speak to you then, probably then. Yes, shall I?
How many anuses out of five would you give this episode of Friends with Friends?
This podcast is constantly a five anus, but I don't know what that means. I don't know if that's good or bad.
That's a good thing or a bad thing, isn't it? Yeah.
The quintuple anus with Pete and Dave. Well,
join us next week, guys. We're aiming for six anuses.
And if you like this episode, please go on Apple Podcasts and rate or review. We would appreciate five anuses out of five as much as you possibly can.
Yeah.
Oh, funny.
Bye.